Messages tonight. Let's look at Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. No, pardon me. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. There's a lot of good verses in chapter 3 too, but we're going to go to chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. I was going to speak this evening, and later in last week, I was doing a word study on the word beginning, and we're starting a new fiscal year after our December 1st, which is coming on us very shortly. But I went through about, 15 or 20 verses on the word beginning, and I was going to use a bunch of them, but I chose to use two tonight. And one is in chapter 7. And it's verse 8. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. I might think of that as we head towards the end of the year as well. I was thinking of the end of our corporation year. One year when I had I had some devotions at the corporation meeting, and I listed about 25 to 35 different things that had gone on in the assembly that particular year. But I was looking towards a new beginning, and yet when I came to this verse, it took us to the end, and it says the end is better than the beginning. A lot of times we look forward to things, you know. We really look forward to things, and something new is going to start, we're going to be able to do something. And yet, as time goes on, it gets even better, you know. Anticipation of the beginning of something is good. You know, we talked a number of months ago about the elevator project out front. And finally there was that time when they opened up the window and the door, took the window out, and there was two empty spots there. And, they started a project, you know, and some of us were able to get involved in that physically. Others were able to get involved in it financially. But it was the start of a project. But as the project goes on, it's getting even better. It's getting more exciting now. You can look at the front of that, and you can see the elevator up, elevator shaft up anyway, and you can see the character of the space going down for the doorway going down, or with the opening, I should say, the stairway going down, and it's getting, as time goes on, it's getting even better. And when we get it finished, well, it's even going to be better yet, you know. But the start was good, but the going into it, is even starting to get more exciting. I'm looking forward to when we have that opened up. I'm looking forward to that. It's really getting good. Let's go back a few books to Deuteronomy. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. That was one lesson that took me a long time to learn, was patience. And I'm still not there. You know, I guess that's one thing. As long as we're human, I guess we're going to always have a problem with patience, at least in some way. Deuteronomy 11. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 11. And this is a chapter of Moses rehearsing the things that happened, or the thing dealing discussions with God. Let's take a look in chapter 11 and verse 7. It says to the people of Israel, your eyes have seen all the great acts of the Lord, which he did. This is the generation which was coming into the land, and they had seen the Exodus. They'd lived through the Exodus. Tremendous. Can you imagine? All the plagues, the 10 plagues, to have lived through that time and know how that you were protected and the Egyptians were not. And then the Exodus out of the land, and then to get boxed in with mountains on one side and a river in front of you, and yet see the Lord deliver you out of that. And you get to the other side, and then you have problems with food, and the Lord heard your grumblings about that and murmurings. He says, your eyes have seen all the great acts of the Lord, which he did. Therefore shall you keep all of the commandments which I command you this day, that you may be strong and go in and possess the land where you go to possess it. Our brother Dave has often spoken on possessing our possessions, just like he spoke the other day on the difference between being alive and being lively, you know. And he's encouraged us in his ministry here in his family meetings that we possess we don't just have what God gives us, but possess it and use it and appreciate what we have, what he's given us. And I'm just not thinking of this building. I'm thinking of all the benefits the Lord gives us. He said he daily blesses us with benefits. That you may go in and possess the land where you go to possess it, and that you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers to give unto them and to their seed, and a land that flowed with milk and honey. For the land where you go in to possess is not as the land of Egypt, from whence ye came out, where you sowed your seed and watered it with your foot as a garden of herbs. Now, I was trying to think of what that meant. What that meant, watered it with your feet. The first thing I thought of is, when you see a puddle, you kind of sometimes, well, kids, I know you wouldn't do that, but when you were kids, you dragged your foot to try to get the water to go from one spot to another. Or maybe they were using an irrigation ditch. I don't know. But it says you watered it with your foot. I remember a videotape I used to show called Our Mr. Sun, back from about the mid... It originally was produced, I think, by Bell Technologies in the mid-50s, because I saw it at Frontier in the auditorium as an assembly program. But then I used it during my teaching days. And one of the things that was that the sun, you know, of course he didn't use the phrase, it says God gives us the sun, but the sun provides all sources of energy in plants and stuff like that. And they showed how in the pre-industrial age, why a man used a bicycle treadmill or a treadmill of some sort that they actually walked, and then it was connected to an axle, and that was connected to buckets on the axle, which rotated around, and it dipped into the water, and as the peasant worked the wheel, why the water would come up, and then it would tip the bucket into another level, and that would provide irrigation. That was Chinese in that case. But if I remember right, it looked Chinese. But here it says you watered it with your foot as a garden of herbs. You sowed your seed, you watered it with your foot as a garden of herbs. But the land where you go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys and drinks water of the rain of heaven, a land which the Lord thy God careth for. For the eyes of the Lord are always upon it from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart, with all your soul, that I'll give you the rain of your land in his due season. We're getting some of that today. The first rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in your corn and your wine and your oil, and I'll send grass in your fields for your cattle, that you may eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. Boy, that was right from the word go, he's talking about idolatry. Don't serve idols in this land. And as you read through Isaiah 40, we were looking back at Isaiah 40 and some of the mid-chapters in Isaiah a few Lord's Suppers ago. And boy, that whole passage in there, is there another God? I know of none. You know, besides me, there is no Savior. And all that passage in Isaiah where God is rehearsing to the land through Isaiah, that, or the people of the land through Isaiah, that he is God, you know, and there is no other. And the encouragement here is that they respect that, and they realize, and they don't set up any idols. Israel wouldn't set up any idols, wouldn't it? Ephraim? No. Of course they did. And it was interesting. How many have seen? Anybody seen the December National Geographics? that's out. The National Geographic has about a 40-page article on Abraham, who they speculate Abraham was, and it talks about the Ur of the Chaldees. And the early gods of Ur of the Chaldees, one of them was the moon god, who some feel this Allah is from, derived from, for Islam. But the speculation was that Abraham came out of a culture that was polytheistic. And yet Abraham was removed from that and decided to serve one God. It was interesting the way it was brought out in that article. And even much later than that, here we have in Deuteronomy, God is cautioning through Moses. God is cautioning his people not to establish idols. But I love that verse that it talks about the word beginning in verse 12. A land which the Lord thy God careth for. They hadn't even inhabited it yet. They hadn't even gone there yet. And yet, he talks about a land that he cares for. For the eyes of the Lord are always upon it from the beginning of the year even to the end of the year. Isn't that a neat phrase? From the beginning of the year even to the end of the year. We had a phrase a few weeks ago that our brother from Toronto gave us at the Lord's Supper about the God who inhabits eternity. I'm the high and lofty one. The God who inhabits eternity. And here's another one. He not only inhabits eternity, but he sees the earth. And the eyes of the Lord are always upon that land of Israel from the beginning of the year to the end of it. They walked into that land eventually, and they found that the land was in harvest, and they didn't have to labor for that first harvest. It was already ready to be reaped. It was ready to go. And just as God promised. And you can see that especially in here. Let's take a look at a couple other verses. Two other verses just for this evening in Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9. If they were going to not set up idols and worship only the Lord their God, Solomon, I think it was Solomon that wrote this part of the book of Proverbs, as he wrote anyway, in verse 10 it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. We focused that other morning too at the Lord's Supper on that word holy. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If those Jews would have followed that admonition that Moses gave them back in Deuteronomy, things would have gone much better for them. You know, things would have gone so much better for them. We read of the two kingdoms, and there was always something in the high places. There were idols in the high places, and they had to go in and tear them down. But the fear of the Lord, they would have worshipped God himself. The beginning of wisdom and knowledge of the holy is understanding. That's important for us. That we fear the Lord. When a decision comes up during the week as to what we should do, we need to consider how the Lord would have us act, right? Fear the Lord. What would the Lord have me to do on this issue? And then the knowledge of the holy is understanding. You know, we can't just live a life out of fear and respect just because it's the right thing to do. We need also to have understanding. And you can't get that without knowledge. You can't get knowledge without getting into the Word of God. So you have the fear of the Lord, but you also have the reading of His Word. And you have the study of His Word. The knowledge of the holy is understanding. And as we meet with the Lord during the week, not just on Sunday morning, but as we meet with the Lord during the week, He reveals more and more of Himself to us. One last verse, Proverbs chapter. We'll go back to chapter 1. And in verse 7, another one in the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Here's the beginning of knowledge. In chapter 7, it was... Or chapter 9, I should say. It was the beginning of wisdom. But we also have knowledge as well. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. You know the old phrase of, couldn't believe how much my father learned by the time I got out of college, you know. From the time I was in high school to the time I got out of college. And I remember distinctly, you know, that my dad, when you go to college and you're out of the house a little while and you have little, you pick up little testings, you know, that you try. And boy, Dad was right straight with me on that, you know. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom. Fools despise admonition. We don't want to be the foolish. We want to be ones that hearken to the word of the Lord. We have had our beginning in our construction. We're in the middle of it. We're going to see an end to it someday. Better is the end than the beginning. But we've all had a beginning. All of us that know the Lord as our Savior have had a beginning in walking with Him. And we're in some process along that pathway, you know. And the end is coming when He's going to come back to take. Either we're going to pass on from the scene, or He's going to come back and take us unto Himself. And the end is indeed going to be better than the beginning. Right? However emotional or enthusiastic we were when He accepted the Lord, and we finally saw the plan of salvation applied to our own hearts, why the end, when He comes back and receives us unto Himself, is going to be far better than the beginning. And it's something to think about as we get tied up with the burdens of the week, or it gets tied up with the burdens at work or of the day, maybe the stress of the world right now. For us that are believers, the end is far better than the beginning, and we have a great and glorious hope to look forward to.